50 years living among humanity, learning how to be human. I don't remember anything else, and I don't ever want to be anything else. I haven't aged a day in all that time, so I have to keep moving and moving on. These days I work for the mysterious secret group known as the Organization, on the cases they send me, protecting humanity from all manner of otherworldly threats. And in return, they keep me safe and hidden from the over-inquisitive eyes of this modern world. Call me Ishmael. Ishmael Jones. Chapter 1. A Perfectly Normal Couple. I've spent most of my life working and living on my own. Not by choice, it's just safer that way. For me, and for the occasional people who drift in and out of my unusual life, because I'm not normal, I can never have a normal life with anyone, and because I don't age, it isn't fair to tie my life to people who do. And yet, despite all my experience and better instincts, I'm no longer alone. Penny Belcourt has become my partner in crimes and my fellow solver of mysteries. We fell in love, for better or worse, because after all, I'm only human. I was spending the evening at Penny's London apartment when I first heard about Elliot Tyrone and the Castle Inn. Most of the time I live in small hotels and boarding houses, the kind of places where, as long as I pay in cash, people can be relied on not to remember my name or face. In today's surveillance-crazy world, it's not easy staying off the grid and under the radar, but I try to spend as much time with Penny as I can, without putting either of us at risk. Penny's place lies right in the heart of London's most fashionable area, where more than one bedroom and room to swing a medium-sized cat can cost you a sizable portion of the national debt. Penny inherited the apartment from her father and decorated it to suit her personality, loud and colourful. The first time I walked through the door, I was almost blinded by the shocking pink carpets, the wall panels in peacock blue and imperial Chinese yellow, and the assorted technicolour cushions. With its sturdy furniture, packed bookshelves, assorted glass sculptures, and a 1920s-style telephone, so she always knows where it is, the apartment has always seemed comfortable and inviting to me. Or perhaps I just feel that way because Penny lives there. That evening we were snuggled together on the sofa, watching some documentary about wildlife in the Scottish Highlands, scenery porn mostly, a glamorous presence even when relaxing at home in a baggy sweater and faded jeans. Penny has a pretty face with a strong bone structure, a wide smile, dark, flashing eyes, and a mass of dark hair piled up on top of her head. Add to that a trim figure and more nervous energy than is good for her, and it means I never have to worry whether my partner can keep up with me. Whereas I am quietly anonymous. I've put a lot of time and effort into learning how to be just another face in the crowd, so I can move unnoticed in the world. Whenever Penny and I work together, it's my job to spot the things that most people wouldn't notice, and it's her job to keep me honest and human. We work well together, solving mysteries, identifying murderers, and on occasion dealing firmly with the odd monster. "Have you ever been to Cornwall?" Penny said lazily. "Not officially," I said. She turned her head to give me plenty of time to know a disapproving look was on its way. "You know you don't have to keep secrets from me. Not everything I know is mine to tell." She sniffed loudly and went back to watching the television. I looked at her thoughtfully. She had something on her mind, I could tell.
"The scenery is lovely," said Penny.
"It is."
"It's good to get away," said Penny. "I've been thinking."
"Oh, that's always dangerous," I said. She punched me companionably in the arm.